Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I invite the children to join Renata. She's going to be in the comfy chairs. We had a little scheduling mishap. You can kind of see things in the service, too. These are kind of things that happen when Diane's away, and it just helps us really appreciate Diane more. So Renata is filling the scheduling gap, and she'll be with the children in the comfy chairs. She has a fantastic little book called The Quiet Book and a retelling of the Lord's Prayer. She was particularly impressed with all the different kinds of quiet in that book, including lollipop quiet. Grace and peace be with you. These are the gifts of God, our Father, our friend, our Spirit of life. Amen. Do you think that God knew how many righteous people were in Sodom and Gomorrah before he had this little auction event with Abraham? I mean, if you don't think that God knew already, well, then maybe we should go back to Christianity 101, because we hold it to be true that God sees all and knows all and is unchangeable. And so it's really a fascinating story that we find in Genesis, Abraham kind of, I guess, arguing with God. God, you're going to destroy these two cities, but what if there are 50 good people in those cities? Are you going to destroy those 50 good people too? God says, well, for the sake of the 50, I won't destroy it. Okay, can I press my luck here? What if there's only 30? What if there's 20? What if there's 15? Do I hear 10? What kind of God would entertain that kind of conversation? That's what I want us to think about today. What kind of God would entertain that kind of conversation? Because when we think about, you know, the gods of Rome and the Greek gods, the god of war, and, you know, all those fictitious kind of gods that we have lots of children's cartoons about, those gods just kind of say, this is it and that's that. And if you're a human being coming before one of these gods, you know that you're taking your life into your hands to approach the gods. But our God seems to entertain that conversation. Our God, knowing exactly that there are no righteous people in either of those towns, who has already made a decision to destroy them, entertains Abraham's conversation. God entertains Abraham's pleading. And I think this God is a God that's worthy of our prayers and our worship and our praise. Because this God in this little snippet of a scene with Abraham, it's not so much about Sodom and Gomorrah and what God's going to do there as it is about what God's doing with Abraham in that moment. God, it seems, cares about that conversation with Abraham. God cares about Abraham's heart. God cares about a conversation of mercy with this pleading of one human being on the behalf of potentially righteous people who might be caught up in God's wrath. When we read the Gospel of Luke, if we jump forward a few thousand years, we find Jesus praying a lot. If you read the Gospel of Luke carefully, every time something big is about to happen in the life of Jesus, we find him in prayer first. So here he's in prayer, and the disciples have watched this pattern of prayer and action, of big momentous things in the life of Jesus. And so this time when he finishes praying, they know something's about to happen because this has been happening all along in the Gospel of Luke. He finishes praying, and one of them comes to him and says, "Lord, teach us to pray." Why? Well, because we see that when you pray, you get to work and things happen. You pray, and then people are healed. You pray, and then the religious leaders listen to you. You pray, and the crowds come out. You pray, and thousands are fed. You pray, and somehow you find the strength to take the next step in your life. So now I ask you, do you want the strength for the next step in your life? See, that's what the disciples saw. Jesus prays, and he has strength. Jesus prays, and he has courage. Jesus prays, and he has good humor. Jesus prays, and he has joy. And his disciples, those closest to him, kind of figure that maybe they don't know what they're doing because they're praying, and none of that's happening for them. See, I can't think of any other reason they would turn to him and say, "Teach us to pray," except that they see power and purpose. They see companionship with this same God that cared about that conversation with Abraham. And so Jesus says to his disciples, when you pray, pray like this. So now you should pray with me, right? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And save us from the time of trial." You can keep going. It's okay. I just stopped. Right. How often we pray those same things that Jesus taught his disciples, but do we pray them really knowing what we're praying? Or are we just saying words because they happen to be on the screen, or they're so deeply embedded within us they just come out when the first phrase starts? What does it mean for us to say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name"? That this God who cares about this conversation with Abraham, that this God to whom Jesus prays is in heaven and is worthy of praise. And sometimes for us, that may be the most important part of the Lord's Prayer, because if you're anything like me, we go through some absolute crap in our lives. Amen? And when we're going through it, what's the first thing we wonder? Are you really God? Do you really care about me? Are you really good? Should your name really be praised? Because if it is, and you are, and all of that, then why is this happening to me? Amen? I mean, we're going to get real today, right? And what does it mean for us that we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Because actually, we don't really know what it's like in heaven. And we're praying for something we can't see. And if you're anything like me, I'm praying for a hope and a prayer and a wish that everything's copacetic there. I'm praying that there's no, like, as much as when I'm praying your will be done here as there, I'm praying that how it is there is how I think it is there. Right? Because we walk kind of blind. When you have an image of heaven, what's going on in heaven? And you can just kind of shout out, what's going on in heaven? What do you think? There's praise. There's singing. What was that? There's eating. Please let it be here like it is there. Because I'm imagining not eating just any old thing, but like the good stuff, right? And without this effect, right? I'm imagining no war. I mean, what else do you imagine? Happiness. How about harmony? How about reunification? How about reuniting? Like, I really hope to God that right now my grandma's preparing a root beer float for me with one of those long spoons. Because when my grandma was living, those were the happiest days of my life. Not just because she was living, but because I didn't know any of this stuff about the world. And I kind of think the ignorance is not only bliss, like I hope that's there, because that's preferable to what I know now. And I'm often praying, you know, when I'm not leading the Lord's Prayer, sometimes you'll see that I don't say it out loud because what I'm saying is my own version of it. And what I'm saying is, oh God, please let it be the way I think it is where you are, and please make that happen here while we're still living. And give us today our daily bread. What does that even mean? Do you know in the Greek, that word daily, that we say daily, it's the only place it appears in all of Greek literature, all of ancient Greek literature, the only place that word appears is in the Lord's Prayer. It says, give us today our epiousion bread. And guess what? We don't know what that means. We don't know what it means. The Greek scholars are flat out tell you we don't know what it means. So I kind of like that actually, because when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I often say this, Lord, would you please give us today whatever it is that you see that we need, because we don't know what it is. Isn't that beautiful? Like, what if these words really came alive for us? If we lived our lives throwing ourselves on the mercy of this God who cares about this relationship with Abraham, this auctioneer. Like, I one time saw a sermon, I heard a sermon about this where it was an auction. It was hilarious. But it tells us something about God's character. And so does this prayer when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. He's actually not really saying you should pray more. Maybe we should take a poll right now. Who's relieved to hear that? I'm relieved to hear that. He's not saying you need to pray more. He's not even saying you need to pray right. Who's relieved by that? He's not even saying you need to know how to pray. Like, this is really, really relieving. He's not saying any of that. Because when he teaches his disciples to pray, what he's saying is, this is the God that you're praying to. This is what God is like. These are the characteristics of the God that you're trying to worship. And he's saying, this is why I talk to him a lot. Because these are God's characteristics. I'm looking at the prayer now. God is holy. God is capable of making a peaceable kingdom come. God is capable of delivering that feast that you're talking about, of that reunification. God is capable, by the way, of causing all of us to be harmonious singers. That's a God we're praying to. I frankly can't wait for that day for myself, right? Took a lot of work what you're hearing out of me today. God is capable of delivering to you the things that you need, even when you have absolutely no idea what they are. I'm going to say that again. God is capable of delivering to you every day the things that you need, even when you have absolutely no idea what they are. And much of the time, we don't want them anyhow. Do you know, recently, I looked back over my life, and I realized that right now in my life, I have everything that I asked God for 10 years ago. Every single thing. You know what my experience was when I realized that? I should have asked for more. Particularly, I should have asked for more stuff for my kids. And I have more than that. That's what God's capable of. I sometimes think when we're praying, we're giving God our laundry list of the things that we want, and God's up there going, yeah, I got it. Oh my gosh, this is going to take 10 years. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Well, number one, I don't think that second thing is actually true. Have you forgiven everyone who's indebted to you? I'm working on it. But there's some people in the States, particularly in power, that I got issues with, right? Forgive us our sins. This God's capable of forgiving everything. So I don't know what it is you think you've done that's not worthy of forgiveness, but I would suspect that all of us have something. It's that thing that you don't want anyone to know about, that you never say. This God forgives that. This God forgives that. And don't bring us to the time of trial. This God's capable of protection. What do we hear? Glory, power, provision, forgiveness, protection. And by the way, what we learned from Abraham, putting up with our silly little arguments just because they're ours. You know, Jesus isn't saying pray more. Jesus is saying get clear about who God is. And I think if we're clear about that, we're automatically in conversation. We're automatically in prayer. What is it you really want from God? I really don't think that it's more stuff. You have to love me, right? God loves you already, right? God loves you already. Sometimes what's needed is for us to get clarity about that. God loves you already. What do you want from God? I love that you answered me, by the way, like it's not TV. You want mercy? God's already dishing that out. Like root beer floats at my grandma's, right? Oh, it used to really make my mom mad, by the way. I'd come in 9 a.m, my grandma hands me a root beer float. That's our God. Who cares what the rules are? I care about you. We also see in Scripture that the church is a tiny thing. It's a tiny thing. And I'm sure that you all feel that. The church is a tiny thing. It's getting smaller all the time. It's kind of a joke, but it's not funny. Church is a tiny thing. It's a little bit of salt. It's a little bit of yeast. It's a tiny mustard seed. And why is that? Because there are so very few people who are clear about who God is. And the ones who are clear can build the kingdom right now. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this, so that we would be clear about who God is, so that we could be at work with God to realize the kingdom while we're still living. You know that image of heaven? It's possible now. Now, here's another poll. This is a real poll. Who's seen heaven here? Who's seen it? Glimpses. Put your hands high so people can see. I'm not just making it up. It's here. And guess what? We're the ones that God wants to build that kingdom through. We're the ones. And you know, mostly what we do in this place is we practice that. You know where I see the kingdom every week? Out there around a coffee pot. Who's seen it there? I'm not kidding. Who's seen it there? Yeah, it's here in our midst. It's around your dinner tables. It's in the eyes of the people that you have conversation with. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and he did that before every big thing in his life. And he produced results. So much so that his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he proceeded to tell them about God. Might we have that same kind of courage and strength to look for God in our midst, to get clear about what God is and what God provides for us, so that we might actually be about the work that we're called to be about? I kind of think that work's fun. I don't know about you. But the coffee's on. The coffee's on. Grace and peace be yours. You know, not just now, but always, everywhere you go. May you never forget.